Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and here I am going down for a swim on Bondi Beach once again. And it's early morning, sun's just peeking over the top of the buildings or the cliff tops, and it's just a magic morning. And well, I think we can safely say winter is behind us. Today, I just want to have a little chat about something. I watched a movie, and I recommend it, called My Friend the Octopus. It's on Netflix. It's set in South Africa on the Cape, that a guy goes in very, very cold water and for a 12-month period, although the filming was done over 10 years, befriends an octopus. The miracle of the story, of course, is the story itself. That someone can tell a story about an octopus and a man and not be charged with sexual harassment, which he will be in the future. No doubt in 20 years the octopus will come back. No, that's not true. So anyway, it's a great story. And it's the demonstration for those who really don't want a spoiler alert. Just go la 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 for a minute. The demonstration is humans' connection to nature and nature's connection to human and how we're not separate. It's a beautiful, beautiful demonstration. And anyway, moving on, it's ironic that this movie should be about a man and an octopus rather than a man and a woman. And that octopus story can be really, well, I think it demonstrates how romantic it can be, because he cries and he smiles and he laughs and he loves the octopus and he says he's in love with it. And well, anyway, it's good to watch. We can be in love with nature. That's no question. And that feeling of being in love with nature is what makes us very powerful in our work and life. I think if we lose touch with the power of love for nature, I think we incubate that love into a human being. And there are very few human beings on earth who kind of want that level of neediness. It's an ugly, compartmentalized love, and we would say it's a got-to love in our language of the consciousness kind. We would say a person who's in a state of isolated love can only love one person. Everyone else they don't love is in a got-to state because they've got to have that one person in their life, in their heart, and in obedience, in a way, because they say, I love you if. We've talked about this quite a lot because it is, for a corporate individual, incredibly important to have a home where rebuilding and rebooting can take place without trauma. In other words, we need to have a home that celebrates love and friendship and kindness. The question then becomes, what do we bring into that home? And we've shared the story of my first consulting brief, which was 30-odd years ago, which was a piggery, and about pig poo boots, about how easy it would be to walk around the job all day and not shower off at the end of the day and end up walking pig poo through the house when you get home, and how often the white collar people who don't have the stink, physical stink of the pig poo, can be on the phone in a meeting, be stressed or be traumatized or be triggered by that meeting, and then just walk in and give their kids a hug and wipe their pig poo all over their kids and then wonder why the kids aren't behaving properly. Or how that individual can be mean and nasty to someone and then try to be compensated by being kind and generous to their kids, but they've got the pig poo of their day all over them. I think this love of nature is one certain way of being able to strip off pig poo and take a shower. And it's not just going outdoors, which I think is really, really important, or having plants on our desk or greenery around, which I think is extremely extraordinarily important. I think it's about love for nature. It's about falling in love, like the octopusy guy falls in love with an octopus. It's about falling in love with a beach or a sand or a cliff or a tree. And the one thing in the movie that was really quite beautiful, getting back to it, is that he said doing the same thing every single day means you become subtle to the nuance. And of course, we're obsessed, all of us, with something different every single day. We're obsessed with changing our menu, changing our clothes, changing our style, changing our. And therefore, we change the environment to suit our mood rather than change our mood to suit our environment. By going to one place every day, the same place, doing the same thing, and just repeating it for years and years, this octopus guy demonstrates that you really get to be part of the environment. You get to notice the smaller things. You get to understand the sweetness, the gentleness, the nuance of an environment. And it changes. And I think at the end of the day, this movie is not about a romance, which is the story between a man and an octopus, between man and nature, between nature and man. I think it's about change and accepting it and working with it. So every day, nearly every day, I walk Bondi Beach at least twice. I walk it warmed up. I don't pretend to come down here and be a war hero with no shirt on or anything. I walk it nice and warm. I go down, I dip in, do a tea bag at the end and walk back. Now, there are some days where it's too windy or blistering, howling gales where I elect not to do it, but I almost know every step of this sand. And I witness its change. I witness the people being different. Yesterday there were people from all over the world down here on the beach, and some of them aren't, compliant to normal beach behavior. And so you go, that's change too. That's witnessing your environment and not reacting to it, trying to keep it the same. As the octopus guy had to learn, you can't keep the environment the way you want it, but you have to adapt to it. The business environment around the world is changing. The way people work together, the way people interact, who gets employed and who doesn't get employed, it's changing rapidly. And a good leader is going to have to witness that change without reacting. They're going to have to witness the younger generation, the XYZ, B, C, D generations moving through and having different needs, and not rather than say, oh, that's wrong, or they've been over this or over helicoptered, say, this is the reality, the new reality. And I think the same in your relationship. Sometimes you want it to be how it used to be, but the new reality is just as lovable as the old reality if you can fall in love with nature, because nature teaches you that nothing's permanent. Nature teaches you one solid thing, that nothing is ever permanent. So change is inevitable on a daily basis. Coaching, executive coaching, is about managing change, handling it, adapting to it, being ahead of the curve, in fact, as we learn from Nepal, when it comes to change, predicting change, anticipating change, getting ready for change, being geared up for change, causing change, creating change, being on the front foot. When change comes, you're there, and your business, and your team, rather than reacting and saying, I'm going to fix the stress in my team. How about think about, how am I going to prevent or prepare people so when the stress comes, they can handle it? Easy. Proactive. Prevention is better than cure. And if there's one metaphor for good coaching, it's prevention is better than cure. If you wait until change comes to you, that's one thing. Just like the octopus guy, waiting for change to come. And it's very peaceful. But this man is not in business. this man is not in the real world of relationships. He's isolated on an island down the coast of South Africa, waiting for change to happen so he can adapt to it. And after about 6 months, he realizes, or a period of time, he realizes he better study the octopus and learn all about it so he can not be shocked and not be surprised when change happens. And so he starts to become an expert in the world of what's going to happen to my octopus. And that's a really important prediction. So, change. And the importance of it. And the importance of being ahead of the curve. The importance of adapting to it, but preparing for it. So you can anticipate what change is going to be. If you predict that the future of your business career is going to be a whole lifestyle shift, comfortable, smooth, enjoyable, peaceful, loving, friendly, fun, calm, kind, generous, yogi lifestyle shift, while you maintain your position in the business in a competitive environment, you may not be preparing for the reality of the future. So our expectations become the critical mass point of what's the future going to look like and how do I prepare for it? And what do I need to do that's different now? How do I change to adapt to the future I predict? And it's our expectations that need to be challenged, our expectations that need to evolve and grow. If our expectations are right, it's no surprise and we're prepared. If our expectations are wrong, like predicting the world will be a Trumpless environment or a Chineseless environment or a COVID-free environment, these expectations are false. Peaceful, loving, calm, home life where nobody in the house is traumatized or dealing with their stuff, these expectations are false. And they block love. And anything that blocks love is really something to be dealt with some degree of urgency. This is Chris. I hope you have a beautiful day. I'm going for a swim. Bye for now.